राधमाधवा कुंज बिहारी हे राधमाधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रोतशत श्री श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा हरे कृष्ण नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरचैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 9. Lord pacifies Lord Narasimhadev with prayers. Text number 39. Netan manastava kathastu vekuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtaram asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shannaratam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimrasani dina. Netan manastava kathasu vekuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtam asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shanaratam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimra shami dinaha. Netan manastva kathasu vekuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtam asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shanartam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimrasani dinaha. Netam manastava kathasu vikuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtam asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shanaratam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimrshani dina. Netan manastava kathasu vekuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtam asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shanartam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimshani dina. Netan vanastava kathasu vekuntanatha. Sampriyate durita dushtam asadhu tivram. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhaya shanartam. Tasmin katham tava gatim vimrshami dina. No, certainly not. Etat, this. Manaha, mind. Tva, your. Kathasu, in transcendental topics. Vekuntanatha, O Lord of Vekuntha, where there is no anxiety. Sampriyate is specified or interested in. Durita, by sinful activities. Dushtam, polluted. Asadhu, dishonest. Tivram, very difficult to control. Kama aturam, always full of different desires and lusty propensities. Harsha shoka, sometimes by jubilation and sometimes by distress. Bhaya, and sometimes by fear. Isana, and by desiring. artham distressed tasmin in that mental status katham how tva your gatim transcendental activities vimrashami I shall consider and try to understand Dina, who am most fallen and poor. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus, it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Purport. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world. But on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 66, Sarva dharman paritajya mam ekam charanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 15. Namam duskritno mudha prapadayante narada maha maya apritaha jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Vakevalam, Kalav Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Gatir Anyatha. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. Tvad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magnas Chitaha. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and His activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world. And this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus, one becomes free from all material bondage. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टम स्थापितम येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयम ददाति स्वपदांतिकम वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः इव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। So here again we are continuing with the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, which are really very, very interesting and so much full of nectar. One thing which we realize when we read these prayers from Prahlad Maharaj or from any other devotee of the Lord, that a devotee of the Lord always takes a humble position, especially while praying. It is not, and this is a very, very basic and very important element of bhakti. One cannot make any progress in bhakti if one is not humble, or especially when one is approaching somebody with prayers or asking questions, asking some clarifications, one has to approach the other person submissively in a very, very humble mood. And that is why we see Prahlad Maharaj in each and every verse he is speaking to Lord Narasimhadev, he is taking a very, very humble position. This also is a very clear distinction between people who are atheistic or who are living totally in the material world and those who have a devotional setup, devotional dispensation. So Prahlad Maharaj continues, and he is explaining that the nature of Vaikuntha planets and the nature of material world. So what is the nature of Vaikuntha planets? Prahlad Maharaj says there is no anxiety in Vaikuntha planets. What is the other characteristic of Vaikuntha? All those who are present there, all the devotees, obviously in Vaikuntha planets, everybody who is present is a devotee, and they are only serving Krishna. On the contrary, the material world is full of anxiety and distress. We may sometimes get a feeling that we are so happy, but that happiness, first of all, is relative, and secondly, it is very, very short-lived. So, and certain things which may be the cause of happiness today will be the cause of distress tomorrow. So that is the beauty of material world. But interestingly, we still do not realize it. You know, we have that little glimpse of happiness and then we continue to chase. You know, we look for more happiness and more happiness, knowing fully well that that happiness is very, very illusory. We are not going to get any happiness. We are just going to work hard like an ass, and in the end we'll be just tired and eventually leave this planet. To do what? To come again and get into the same rigmarole. So here we very clearly understand that the material world is not a place to seek happiness. In Canto 6, it is that there is a story of Maharaj Chitraketu. So he was looking for, he did not have a son, and he wanted to have a son. So he eventually, he was told that your son, though you are looking for a son, you are aspiring for a son, you may get a son, but he may not necessarily be a source of happiness for you. He may become a source of distress for you, but he still wanted to have a son. And eventually the son, who was source of happiness for him for a few days, eventually became a source of distress for him. So there are so many examples in our scriptures and in our own lives. Something which is bringing us happiness today, tomorrow it becomes a cause of problem or distress for us. So then when we move forward in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is talking about lamentation and fear. So in the material world, everybody is hankering and lamenting. So what we are hankering for? Those who are in the material world, we are in the material world. So what we are hankering for in the material world? So we are hankering for what we do not have. So it's so easy, you know, it is so nicely explained that we are hankering for what we do not have. And do we have everything? No, we may not even have basics. So we are always going to be in that situation. Then what we are hankering for? We are just running after, again, as I said, illusion. And then we are lamenting. Everybody is lamenting. What we are lamenting for? What we have lost. Because whatever we have today, we are going to lose it sooner or later. So lamenting is going to continue in this material world. Then devotees also hanker. This is the difference, you can say, between the life of a devotee and the life of a person who is there in the material world. A devotee also hankers, but devotee hankers for opportunity to serve the Lord. And not only serve, but serve enthusiastically. This is a very important word here, enthusiastically, because a number of times we get opportunity to serve, but we just take it as a, you know, instruction coming from my superior or my authorities, and I half-heartedly accomplish that work. So there is no enjoyment in doing that work. But a devotee is actually hankering for opportunity, and then he really tries to do all, accomplish them, the task, enthusiastically. What are the other things which a devotee is hankering for? So the other things which a devotee is hankering for is, how can I make everybody Krishna conscious? We want to, you know, we go for Harinam, we go for book distribution, we do programs, we invite people to come to our temple. Why do we do that? We want everybody to get introduced to Krishna conscious, because devotee knows that the permanent happiness and the true happiness is in bhakti, is in Krishna consciousness. So that is what a devotee is hankering for. Then devotee also laments. And what are they lamenting for? The opportunities lost to serve Krishna. So now it is a very, very important point, because we, a number of times when we get the opportunity to serve, are we really looking? You know, when say temple president calls the devotees that there are some services and I would like, you know, some devotees to volunteer, and then everybody is keeping quiet, nobody comes forward. So is that a devotee mood? I don't think so. But anyway, temple president is very, very compassionate, and you know, so he says, okay, even if you don't volunteer, I will still give you the service. And then and then I'm hoping, oh, maybe he gets it. Maybe he gets it, not me. So that's the mood we have. Then when it comes to an opportunity to serve, that's the mood in which we are living. So, you know, it's very important for us to change that mood. If we have to make progress in devotional life, we have to change that mood. Then here Prahlad Maharaj says that my mind is full of lamentation and fear. So as Prabhupada said here, that he is talking like an ordinary fallen soul, an ordinary human being living in this material world. So everybody is living in fear in this material world. Even if somebody appears to be not fearful, the truth is very different. For example, who could be the most powerful person in this material world? Who most powerful? May not be most fallen, but... So, for example, you know, we look at so many kings, we look at so many presidents of powerful nations, and when they travel with so many bodyguards around them. When the president of United States or even other countries, when they travel, they are four vehicles, similar vehicles, driving side by side. So nobody knows in which vehicle the president or the king is, or the queen is. Just because they are so scared that somebody might kill them. So that is the state of affairs when it comes to being fearful. Then, other fears, like we talked about, that we are fearful of losing our possessions, losing our material possessions. We are so fearful of them. We really, you know, don't want to leave them. We are so attached to them. We are fearful of old age. We are fearful of disease. We are fearful of death. So there is no end to fears when we are living this material world. A devotee, on the other hand, is not fearful. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, that a devotee doesn't have to be fearful at all. And why is that? Because he has taken the shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anybody who has the protection of Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have to fear anyone. It is like a small child, a young child. When a young child is with his father, he is totally in bliss. He is not worried about anything. He knows my father is there and he will protect me. He will take care of me. So same is the feeling of a devotee. He knows that I have taken shelter of the Lord and Lord is going to protect me. And that is the true meaning of surrender. Until and unless we surrender, we are not able to get any protection. We are not going to make any progress also in bhakti. So by surrendering unconditionally at the lotus feet of the Lord, we can seek and get his protection and overcome fear. Here, Prabhupada says further that we can overcome this situation in the material world by taking the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada says that even if we do not believe in other things, if we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, slowly our mind will be focused at the lotus feet of the Lord. Our contamination in our hearts, it will be cleansed of that. And once that is cleansed, then we can think of the Lord and chant his glories and his names with little focus and without offenses. Prabhupada says here that in this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. And what is our duty? To serve Krishna. To serve Krishna, serve Krishna's devotees, and engage in the service at the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. Then, other characteristic of a person in this material world, which Prahlad Maharaj talks about, is looking for, always seeks more and more money. So that is also very typical. We have what we need to maintain ourselves, but still we endeavor and run after more and more and more. If I have a house of 2 bedroom, which is sufficient for me to live, I am not happy with it because I have it. So I want a house which is larger than that. And then to maintain that house, what I will be doing? I'll be working harder like an ass. So that's the cycle in which an ordinary person, a normal person in this material world is stuck. He has certain things to maintain them, he has to work, he's hankering for more and more, and then to maintain that more and more, to first of all to get that more and more. Why he's looking for more and more and more? Because he feels that by getting more, I'll be getting happiness. So to seek that happiness, which is still some distance away, we spoil our present. We work so hard that we do not know what happiness is. And eventually, when we get those possessions for which we worked so hard, we are again so much concerned, we are living in fear that we might lose them. So why have them in the first place if we are going to be fearful later on that I'll lose them? So this is the lesson, this is the knowledge which Prahlad Maharaj is trying to impart to us. We have to carefully devote some time to these points, because when we read Srimad Bhagavatam or hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the message is same again and again and again. We hear it every day, and whenever I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I find that, oh, this is what I read last time also. The message was the same. And Srila Prabhupada again also emphasized those points. So why is it so? Why we, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is running into so many cantos, so many chapters, so many verses. Same message, again and again and again. Why it is done in this fashion? Why it is structured like this? Because being in this material world, conditioned souls, we forget immediately what we read or what we hear. So Prabhupada has taken this task to remind us again and again and every day. So that's why it is said, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. If we read Srimad Bhagavatam, first of all, Bhagavatam should be read or heard every day, nityam. Nityam means daily, every day. So if we hear every day the same message, there is a chance that we will remember it. So we read Srimad Bhagavatam, and I think it is important for all of us to pay attention to the instructions of our acharyas, the instructions of the elevated personalities who were close to Krishna, who were self-realized personalities. Like here we have Prahlad Maharaj, we have heard from so many other personalities, and Narad, etc. These are the people, the Mahajans, who can really give us some knowledge. And we are fortunate to have that opportunity to every day or most of the time hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I will close by saying that power of Krishna Katha and Krishna's name is such that if we hear again and again and again, it brings us more benefit. And it creates a desire in the heart of a devotee to hear more. And that is the distinction. You know, if we have to measure, am I, making some progress in bhakti, making some progress in my devotional life or not? And I think all of us, whatever we do, we want to know if I'm doing it good or not, correct? If you are cooking something, you want to, you give it to somebody, you offer it to the Lord, and then you give it to somebody and say, please taste it and see how it is. We want to know, and we want to hear that, oh, it is very tasty. Whatever we may be doing, if I'm making a picture, if I'm drawing a picture, I will make a picture and then I will show it to my friends or my family members and ask them, how does it look? So this is human nature. We want to do that. So how about bhakti? Do we ever take a pause and ask, am I making some progress in bhakti or not? Or I'm just doing whatever is coming my way? So if we try to measure if I'm making some progress or not, what are the indicators? So here are the indicators. When I chant, am I struggling to complete my 16 rounds or I'm enjoying my 16 rounds? That's a very easy indicator. When I'm getting opportunity to serve, am I doing it enthusiastically or am I just doing it as a burden and instructions only? So these are the indications. So this is, again, the reason why we read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, so that we could really understand what I'm supposed to be doing and am I doing it correctly or not. So I'll stop here and invite corrections, questions, comments.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I have a question about this point of repetition and hearing the same message again and again. I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit if there's anything we can do, like, to have the message sink in more and more, like using our mind and intelligence in a certain way or something like that to like make it sink in, or do we just keep hearing more and more? I mean, obviously we have to continue hearing, but if there's anything we can do in the present, like while we're hearing more, to focus more or to let it sink in more.
So the question is about hearing the same message again and again.
Yeah.
So like I said earlier, whenever acharyas are speaking, whenever senior Vaishnavas are speaking, the message is the same. Maybe said in different words. So if we try to devote some time to the essence of these instructions or these messages, we can shortlist them in maybe 3 or 4 categories. The first one is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the easy one. Then we hear also that engage in transcendental service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So serve Vaishnavas, hear from scriptures, chant, and so on. So these are the instructions which we get from Srila Prabhupada and our senior Vaishnavas. And why it is repeated? Because in this material world, and we being conditioned souls, it is very easy to forget instructions and the knowledge which is coming to us. I can very easily relate it in our day-to-day lives. Number of times we are told to do certain things. In a particular, let us say, a particular service which we are doing. So, in the beginning, when we are doing that service, we need to ask somebody that, oh, how do I do this? Then some people will learn fast. You may need to explain to them maybe 2 times, 3 times. Some people will take longer. So, it doesn't mean that a person who is taking longer will not learn. The only thing is that he has to be told more often the same thing. Otherwise, there is a chance that he may forget to do that service. It happens in the morning sometimes when we come and the pujari says, "Oh Prabhu, there is no water on the altar to wash the conch." So what happened? The devotee who was doing that service the previous day forgot. So why I'm giving this example? Because it is, in this material world, we are very forgetful. In Kali Yuga, the human tendency is to forget things. And especially when it comes to the scriptural messages, it is very easy to forget. We are so much involved in our material activities that we pay very little attention to what is there in our scriptures. What is really beneficial for me? So hearing and listening to the message from our acharyas, on a regular basis and as much as possible is going to remind us. And when we hear it every day, when we hear it on a regular basis, there is, like Prabhupada says, that is the way to cleanse our heart. And what does it mean by cleanse our heart? It means we are getting cleansed of the sinful reactions of our past karmas. And when in that kind of a situation, we have the possibility to chant and remember the Lord more clearly with a clean heart. Does it address your question? Kind of. Okay.
Question was like more like when we're hearing, is there anything we can do to make it sink in more? Like, I guess, like be more accepting, possibly, or
So that means in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami says that he talks about Niyamagraha. So sometimes we do things just for sake of doing it and not for making progress in devotional life. So when we are hearing, we are present in the class and we are here because maybe we are required to be there in the class. We are doing things just because we are asked to do and not because we know or we realize that these things are going to help us in my devotional life. So if I hear with that mood that what I'm hearing today, what the message I'm going to get in today's class is going to help me to make progress in devotional life, it will be something which will stay with us. Otherwise, we are just sitting here and at the end of the class, I'm as fresh as I was in the beginning of the class. I didn't really pick up anything because I thought that, oh, I just have to attend the lecture, I came here and now I'm going. So if we are coming to hear from a devotee, from a Vaishnav, with a mind, with a mood that I'm going to learn something, I'm going to learn something which is going to help me in my devotional life, then the class lasts for 1 hour, number of times. My classes are short. But when you hear the messages, sometimes you have long classes. And it is not always possible to take all the messages home. But even if we take something home and implement that in our life, that is a big success for us. So if you attend a class every day, and every day we pick just one point from there, which we can practice, then slowly and gradually you will have a lot of things, a lot of accumulations, and they will be all very helpful.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. While I was meditating on this verse the other day, you actually brought up you answered all the questions pretty much I had. So, but I think I'll try to conjure up something in some points. So you were mentioning that all good points that I try to keep in mind from my various teachers. You were mentioning that to the if we're we can measure ourselves, test ourselves to see if we're advancing in Krishna consciousness to the degree we're enthusiastic, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So this actually reminds me of one purport anyone can look at in 2.4.5 of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions, you know, the same point you were mentioning. He gives an example that no one has to tell you that you're Krishna consciousness, just like he gave the example that if you eat food, no one has to tell you you're satisfied. So to the degree we're actually, you know, could test whether we're advancing in Krishna consciousness to the degree we're more enthusiastic and we're feeling enlightened and enlivened. And this brings to mind, maybe I'll try to ask a question from this. One thing I brought up in class a few weeks ago that one devotee I try to keep in mind all the time, and it's very relevant to your class. He said generally when you ask someone because I could relate to this. He said, generally when you ask people, do you have any questions, comments, or appreciations on Krishna Katha? Oh, no. Do you have any questions, commentaries, or appreciation of the latest gossip? Oh, yes, I have a million. And so that was my mentality. So that's one thing I try to appreciate, that I really appreciate, and that's helped me. I still love gossip, though. But my question is that basically when we see Prabhupada, he was very enthusiastic. And that's why, you know, Krishna says, Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana. To the degree one's enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, he'll purify you of your anarthas. And we see that when Prabhupada, he sacrificed his life, he was very enthusiastic. But the danger, my question is, can you elaborate on this point? The danger is that when we're not enthusiastic ourselves, that the tendency is that we may accuse people of being proud, like Prabhupada. He was very enthusiastic. People told him it was impossible. Then when he made advancement, he expanded Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, you're proud. It's impossible. But now that you spread Lord Chaitanya's movement, you're proud. So generally, the things that give us pleasure, like criticizing people or gossiping, being more enthusiastic gossip, like you said, the things that give us pleasure, it actually causes pain later when we're committing Namaparad and Vaishnavaparad. So what can we do to rectify that mentality?
I would like to share something with you. One of the first seminars I attended here in the temple was given by His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. And he was talking about Vaishnava etiquettes. So there were several things he was mentioning, and I was new bhakta, so I was noting down everything which he was saying. And one of the important points he said is that a Vaishnava does not criticize others. And then I thought, the spice of my life is gone. So we are so much into this, you know, this gives us so much of pleasure to criticize others. That is, you know, but gradually one learns that how important it is if I do not engage in such activities. We are asked to chant. We have this mandate from Srila Prabhupada that chant, and as far as possible, chant offenselessly. Now, since we do this activity every day, it is again so easy to make out whether my chanting is good or not so good, or at least how was it compared to yesterday's chanting, or my rounds in the beginning and my rounds towards the end, what is the quality of those rounds. So if you are engaging in such activities, like gossiping and, you know, other mundane activities, then we realize that the quality of our chanting is not good. And when we have utilized our time in talking about Krishna, reading about Krishna, serving Krishna, doing some service, the quality of our chanting improves. That's an indication also. That's a warning also for us that today I did whatever I wanted to do, and I enjoyed the whole day. I criticized practically each and every person I, you know, could criticize. And then tomorrow morning when I'm chanting, I realize, oh my God, my mind is still focused on all those talks, all those discussions, which were not really necessary. And then you make an effort to keep away from those such activities. Only thing is, okay, the other thing which could have talked today when we are talking about what for a devotee hankers, and that is the association of other devotees. Why is it important to have association of other devotees? That's precisely the answer to your question. Because when we are in association of devotees, we are going to learn from them something which are useful. The other important thing which I find I was in Juhu Temple. I used to go to Bombay for work and used to stay in Juhu Temple, and I would attend the morning programs and chant with the rest of the devotees. So they used to carry, they will sit in a group. They were all young brahmacharis. They will sit in a group, and then they have this water spray bottles. So I was wondering why, you know, they are, each group they have one water spray bottle. And I was wondering, you know, why they keep that bottle. And then I saw that, okay, they are chanting and somebody is dozing off, and then so by being in association of devotees, we have less risk or chance of, you know, deviating from our paths. So association of devotees is really going to help us a lot in controlling our so-called these, you know, propensities. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, Karnadeep Prabhu wants to add something.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very nice things, point, nice point you told that to his question, that by repeatedly hearing Krishna Katha again and again and again, then in Krishna book it is mentioned that it will quickly kill all sinful activities and it will raise to the platform of pious activities. Those are two important things of this point. That's what I was talking about. And also one more thing regarding the Vaikuntha planet and Golok Vrindavan planet. The difference, I want to state that in Vaikuntha planet, all the opulence one devotee can get. But if you go to Golok Vrindavan, opulence is not there, but the service attitude is there, which will give more transcendental pleasure. Even one can control Krishna there in Golok Vrindavan. Like, for example, yesterday I was hearing Srila Prabhupada was telling that in Vaikuntha planet, even we cannot, that means a devotee cannot, you know, be very familiar with Krishna, you know, in reverse mood. That means always respectful mood, like servant and master attitude. But whereas in Golok Vrindavan, there the devotee can chastise Krishna even. Like, yes. Like, you know, how Mother Yashoda was chastising and Radharani, he was not allowing to him, Krishna to see him, to see her. So, like that relationship. So, Vaikuntha here in translation of a verse, and how Prabhupada has mentioned, there is no anxiety in a Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha, Vai means, Prabhupada used to say, no anxieties. No, yeah. That is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So.
Yes, last question.
I just wanted to make one comment or one quote I appreciated regards to your entire class that I kind of keep in mind. The quote basically says is that you can apply to Bhagavatam or prayers or chanting, anything in devotional service. It says life is like a trumpet. If you don't put anything into it, then you won't get anything out of it. So I really appreciate that. So
thank you so much. Sure. So since we talked about the mood of service and the importance of service in our devotional life, today we are doing Maha Cleanup. So, so here is a great opportunity to serve Kishore Kishori and Srila Prabhupada. So Brahmanas are going to assist in cleaning on the altar, and we will need help from some to clean Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan. We'll start at 9 o'clock. So please, those of you who are inspired and enthusiastic, please join. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.